Before we start this episode, I wanted to apologize for the sound quality. We had a technical glitch while recording that prevented us from downloading our voice tracks separately. This made it really challenging to edit. We hope you make it through, as this turned out to be one of our most favorite episodes to date. Hey everybody, welcome to the Triathlon Age Group Journey. This is podcast number 22. I am Jay Cunay. I'm here with Jillian Carlson and Matt Summer. We're age group triathletes just trying to live our dreams on the race course and in life, and enjoy getting together with new age group athletes as well as those that are supporting those athletes. Like this week, we have a guest, Dawn Marie Kane. She's been a triathlete herself. She's an amazing coach, has a resume really long, is my master's swim coach, and very excited to talk to her tonight. And we'll get into that, as always, in a little bit, but wanted to catch up quickly here with Jillian and Matt and see how your week's been and what's been going on.
Well, it's been a great week for me. I had my last long run for Boston last weekend, so I was able to check that off. So officially in taper. So I'm looking forward to, I can say, only an hour 45 long run this weekend. So definitely on the backside. So that's a little bit more mentally appealing for me to get out there. Not looking at great weather again. I tell you what, down here in North Carolina, when it's warm, but it's going to be 20 mile per hour winds tomorrow. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do my bike tomorrow and wait and run on Sunday. It'll probably be a game time decision tomorrow, but just starting to kind of just let all the training soak in and hopefully get a good race day come April 17th, Patriots Day. Best day of the year. Best day of the year.
Matt, remind me what number Boston this is for you.
It'll be my 8th consecutive. My goal is 10 straight. For people familiar with it, once you get 10 consecutive, you are no longer subject to that time differential. If you qualify and you're in. So like currently, like I need a 3:20 to qualify, and as competitive as it is, you better have a 3:15. You got to be 5 minutes better than qualifying if you want to assure getting registration. But once you have 10 straight, if you're 1 second better, you're in. There's no question. You're not subject to that differential anymore. You still got to qualify. It just eliminates that what if it's a tight one. So
nice. That's an awesome goal.
Well, let's see if I can get it. A couple of tough years still.
Cool. So Jillian, how are you doing?
Oh man, guys, this week has been interesting. Back in my regular pool again, which has been great, but that my household has been hit with sickness. I was supposed to do my first outdoor bike race on Tuesday that I was really excited for, but at 4 a.m, unfortunately, my son emptied his stomach all over his bed. And so I had numerous laundry to do during the day, and he was out for the count for the whole day. I mean, he slept the whole day. I had to stay at home and work from home that day. And just, I couldn't get him to drink water or eat food. And I was like, bud, you gotta eat something. You gotta drink something, right? You're going to be dehydrated. Cause then he was having a headache and sleepy. And then, sure enough, day and a half later, I could totally understand why he had zero desire to drink anything or eat anything, because nothing would want to stay down. Thankfully, it seems to have just been a 24-hour thing. He was, after that 24-hour mark, he was up and running again and back to normal. And same for myself. It hit me pretty hard. Not yesterday, but right after work on Thursday at about 4 p.m. Thankfully, I made it off the bus. But anyhow, I am now sitting out in Spokane for my daughter's volleyball tournament. So grateful that I was able to make the almost 5-hour drive, and I was on the upswing of things feeling better. So it's been a rough week, but still was able to bring the bike and the kicker and have that, made sure that, you know, whenever I get a VRBO, I always make sure and scope out that there's somewhere for me to set up my bike. Might be a little obsessive, but it's worth it at the end of the day.
Getting the training done.
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Keep the sanity. I mean, I love watching the volleyball, but you're sitting and standing for hours. So it's nice to, you know, have something even indoors to just flush the legs, spin the legs, move.
Now, did you say this is the end of the tournament season?
We're kind of in the middle.
Oh, okay. You still have middle. Okay.
Yeah, we go through June.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So it's just getting fired up.
Yes. And they played really well today. So it was really fun to watch. And I think, yeah, be back at it tomorrow and squeeze in whatever training I can. However I can. I actually brought swim bands with me because I knew I wasn't going to have access to a pool. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Nice.
How about you, Jay? How's your week been?
Well, you know, last weekend was the half marathon.
Self-propelled
half marathon time trial. So you remember when we were recording, I was kind of thinking 75% chance. Well, Saturday morning I woke up, it was raining. And the mental battle was incredible in terms of, I started writing them down, the thoughts that were coming across my mind to avoid doing it. From running scared, the fear of failure, self-induced pressure, the mental battle with the uncertainty of, you know, is it going to stop raining? What time might I start? When will I fit this in today? You know, no hype from the race environment. Like everything was piling on of don't do this, don't do this. And then I was editing the podcast and I got to the part where Chris just said, you should just do it anyway, is what he said in the podcast. That just got me. As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, damn. You know, the challenge was issued. I have no choice now. Chris just said, I have to do it anyway. So that spoke to me. So I guess Chris said I inspired him. Well, he inspired me. He gave it right back. So anyway, it sucked, every bit of it. I'm not going to deny. I got off to a good start, but I knew I wasn't feeling good, but I just tried to stick with it. I ended up running around the neighborhood rather than the rail trail that I live right next to, which was totally muddy and would have been a mess. So I had to do 6 loops around my neighborhood, and that's just so monotonous in itself. And, loop four, I was talking myself through, you know, that there's a hill in the back that I was just mentally trying to get through because I knew I could coast down the other side. And then loop five, the times just started eking, you know, the wrong direction. But I pulled it off. I got about a 58 second PR, at the end of the day. So
it ended up being
a super battle to get there, but I was very, very happy. It was just one of those early season goals to try to knock out and move on for the rest of the season. So pretty excited.
Obviously, you'd be a lot faster if you had other people out there to chase.
Maybe.
You really would. So I think you need to do it again this weekend and get Chris out there with you.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Nice. Challenge him. Give him a call.
He'd offer to ride his bike, I think.
Yeah. Well, he can pace me on the bike. Now I'm done. I'm sore. I told Don Marie, I think on Monday, right? I said I'm hurting. It was a rough week. So
nice work,
well done, Jay. Yeah, that's strong, man.
Thanks, guys. Felt good to get it over with. That's about the only thing good about it. So anyhow, are we ready to get going here?
Let's kick it off.
Here we go, Matt.
First off, I got to tell you, I don't know, I was a little disappointed that nobody commented on my social that I got a new whiteboard. I got a larger whiteboard and nobody even noticed. Like I went up in size. I was so proud of this. I mounted it and everything. It just gave me a larger, what I call canvas to work on.
Wow. Yeah. Sorry, and, I missed it, bud.
I know it's just a whiteboard on a yellow wall, but it's a different one. I thought somebody would pick up on that for sure. But anyway, the quote that I went with this week is, wherever you are, be all there. Slow down and give the world the best of you, not what's left of you. All too often throughout the day, we're at work and we exhaust ourselves. And then we come home and the people that really matter the most, they get what's left. And they're not getting the best of it because time and energy, you only have so much. When it's gone, it's gone. And about really putting it into what matters most. We all have priorities. We all got to choose where we want to invest our time and energy, what we're passionate about. This one really jumped out at me and made me sometimes just think, okay, like, you know, relationships, faith, obviously our health, our wellness, those are the things that really matter. So put your time and energy into those, and then maybe put what's left back into the other things. What do you guys think?
That's good. Matt, guilty. I will say, so I had to, when I had to go look at the post, I was like, how did I not notice the new board? the little things, right?
It's a white border instead of a silver border. Yeah,
yeah.
It is. The border is different, but it doesn't look brand new because behind the words, you still see like where you tried to erase old stuff. So it looks like it's older. It doesn't look like fresh and crisp
it's,
and
it's
clean.
Rustic. It's rustic. It's an antique. I mean, we're, you know, come on.
So it didn't look as brand new as it was, but good job. Good job.
Well, thanks. You just downplayed right. it all.
Mm. We're just avoiding having to talk about this quote, Matt, because
you're not all here.
You layered the guilt on pretty heavy with this one.
Gotcha. Just being transparent, man.
Yeah.
Just talking about myself.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. No, I mean, it's a good one that I've been trying to work actually just really hard on being present. And it's always, you know, big talk about like multitasking. And I think that's always a hard thing to do because truly multitask means you're not giving whatever the multiple tasks are your full undivided attention. And so something's being compromised. It's one thing to manage multiple tasks, but to actually truly multitask, you're usually compromising somewhere. And that happens in life. And I notice that for myself all the time, trying to manage a lot of different things in a lot of different areas. And sometimes you have to make do and share the attention, but the more that you can just stop and just say, look, I'm being present in this moment with whatever this kid is or this relationship or talking to my dad. And, you know, he's wants to, ask, you know, talk about our trip coming up or whatever. And it's like, all right, just make sure that, you know, stay in that moment, stay in that conversation. So yes, I don't know. It's been a big area of focus for me.
Yeah. I think it's hard to find this every single day. I think to be, I guess, selfish, but in a way, linking it to training, I think it's what allows me to train. It's one of the few hours or hour and a half of the day that I can be all there because you're not being bombarded from multiple directions. And certainly the workday is a constant juggling act. And then you are exhausted at the end. So I just want to apologize to my family because I like I said, I feel guilty that this is a really tough balancing act of life. And this is a quote you could read every single day and maybe get right 20% of the time, you know?
Well, one thing you just said that was really good though, Jay, is it's about effort, not perfection. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's about trying to do it because nobody's going to be perfect at it in anything that we do. But it's just trying to put a concerted effort into it. And I think this is situational. I think there's situations where it's like you need to take that deep breath, shut the phone off, turn off all the distractions and be present. And then I think there are other times where it's going to be perfectly fine to be that multitasker. You know what I mean? Because you never know when that moment is that moment, if that makes sense, that you need to be present. And it's a hard one because you don't know that moment. It's kind of like when everybody's around the dinner table together, you know, or everybody's sitting there watching TV and you look around and you're like, wow, all the kids are here. You know what I mean? And it's enjoying that moment or birthdays, holidays in particular. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dawn Marie, just checking.
I think for me, this is how I feel when I'm coaching. I'll use masters for an example. When I've gone to other masters swim classes, the coach writes the workout on the board. He walks away and you're just doing a workout that's on the board, or they sit there and read the newspaper or they're looking at their phone. So I feel like as a coach, I really want to be engaged in my swimmers and I'm watching the whole time and timing and taking notes. And, you know, Jay, you've probably heard some people say, why don't you swim with us? And I'm like, well, if I swim with you guys, then I'm not coaching. Because to me, I'm very passionate about what I do and I like to be there 100%. The same when I'm personal training with people. I'm not looking off to something else. I'm you know, I'm really looking at their body. How can I help them? Look at the mechanics. What can I do to make them better? And totally engaged in the, with my clients and with my athletes. So yeah. I would say I use that in coaching.
Totally. I'll vouch for that and witness it firsthand, including keeping track of our monthly time trial time. So that's awesome. Yeah. It's fantastic. Awesome. Well, I mean, I can't think of a better segue than what Dawn Marie just shared, because what she just said is exactly what I experienced at Masters, and the engagement she has with her athletes are fantastic. I mean, we're talking, Dawn Marie's worked with Olympians in the Baltimore area. You could probably guess a famous Olympian with many, many medals around his neck. She has had experience with him, as well as a young lady that I think believe also has a medal or two around her neck in the past. So certainly tons of experience in the swim pool, but also triathlon, and has lots and lots of certifications with cycling, weightlifting, personal training, exercise science. It just goes on and on. So we are just tickled pink to have Dawn Marie here. It may be a lot of Q&A from us, just curious of what your thoughts are when you see age group triathletes and swimmers, especially the adult learn to swim, including myself, among others. But I want, before we do that, I would love to just hear, you know, your story a little bit of what got you started on this track to build a resume like this.
Growing up, I was a gymnast. My parents sold the dining room set. I had a balance beam and mats in the house. So whatever I'm into 1,000%. So competed in gymnastics until I had a really bad injury. And as I was laid up for over a year, I really wanted to learn about the human body, how it worked, how to make it better. You know, I was told all kinds of things that I wouldn't do ever again. Mm. And I proved them wrong.
Awesome.
And, you know, I just got a, you know, just a passion for learning about the body, how it works. And so I got into personal training. And from personal training, I started trying different sports. I started cycling, running. You know, I'd been swimming all my life, but never competitively until I was an adult. You know, I love it all. I love it all. It's just a lot of fun. And the nutrition as well. I mean, everything intertwines. I've done a lot of cadaver work in a lab just to take apart the human body and see how things work together. And I think that's really a valuable tool to use so that when I see people, I understand what's going on inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I'm always challenging myself to learn something new under that umbrella of fitness, wellness, health.
Awesome. And you say that as there's a skeleton in your background image there. Do you have a name for it? I just feel like you probably have named your skeleton.
Yes, it's okay. Mr. Bones.
Okay.
Mr. Bones.
Mr. Bones, yeah.
Mr. Bones. Just had a guess there that you might have named Mr. Bones.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Awesome.
That is great. I love your philosophy and basically kind of what you already echoed. I come from a very, very similar background, you know, exercise physiology, the personal trainer certifications, the coaching certifications. And I can't agree more with you about just the human body is such an amazing machine. And, you know, it's the world's most complex machine. I've heard it cued that way before.
Right.
And it's fascinating because I think the same way you got introduced to all this of being told you won't do this again, that's what got me interested in exercise physiology and just the passion for anatomy and understanding. And I think it's already kind of come out, and I've heard you say that when you, the purpose and how things work, when you can explain that to an athlete and how it all intertwines and the why behind what you're doing, the purpose, it creates so much more ownership. And it really gets the people to understand, because they now see how that equation works and how what the outcome is or the product of doing all these things correctly. To me, that is the most rewarding part when you see your athletes have that aha moment of putting it all together. One thing that really jumped out at me and is the nutrition piece. One of the pieces that fascinated me when I looked at your resume, obviously, I think you studied under Bob Siebehor doing the metabolic efficiency training.
Yes.
And that to me, I love Bob Siebehor and Krista Alston and their whole metabolic efficiency training and that mindset. What got you interested in that and how do you apply that with your athletes currently?
Well, I was always interested in nutrition as well. And I met Bob at the Olympic Training Center during one of my other certifications. I met him and then I, you know, started following him and then studied with him. And I really love using that with my athletes, to having them understand what they put in their body is huge. Some people are genetically gifted. And it's true. They can eat whatever they want and they'll still perform well. But most of us are not, you know, really. Right. And it makes a huge difference. When I work with teenage swimmers and help them with their nutrition, I can't believe the feedback I get from them about how much more energy. They're not tired in school anymore. They can go from school to practice and they can keep going by eating the right things. And it's really rewarding to work with, especially with teenagers. And have them make those changes.
How do you get them to listen?
Yeah.
Because she's not their mom and dad. That's exactly
why they listen. Well, when I work with teenagers, the parents have to be present.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them just sit in the background and don't say a word. Some of them chat with us as well.
Yeah.
And I think that working with kids and teenagers, you can't bark orders at them. Mm-hmm. I meet them where they are. Mm. A lot of the kids, I just have them, you know, hey, can you text me a picture of what you have for lunch? Can you text me? And they like that. They like texting me their food.
It's their level. Yeah.
Yeah. They think it's cool. You know, I'm very careful with how I handle that age group. And they miraculously it works.
Awesome.
Yeah.
For those that aren't familiar with metabolic efficiency training, essentially what that is think of a baby food plate where it's got food separators on it and it splits the plate into different kind of the macros, if you want to think about it, or what each segment is. And depending on what phase of training you are, that's going to dictate what percentage of which macro you're going to consume during that phase of training. And you can just be more efficient depending on where you are and what you're consuming. So that's really the premise behind it. Would you add anything else to that, Dawn Marie? Or, I mean, that's just
I think that really hits the nail on the head. Yeah.
Nice. So I think I still want to hear a little bit more like Dawn Marie's story and progression in life, so to speak, right? So started as a gymnast and then wanted to learn more about the body, right? So then moved into the direction you're at in being a personal trainer and, you know, just getting all the nutrition certification. Mm-hmm. What took you to either swimming and is triathlon still a part of it too? Or are you mostly focused on the swimming, right? We'd love to hear more about your story.
Yeah, it's long and complex, actually. I mean, swimming is something I've always done. You know, I spent my life in the pool, mainly doing gymnastics. So I didn't compete in swimming as a kid. I wanted to be a gymnast. I did the swimming as an adult, as a master, you know, doing master swimming. I was cycling and then got into running and you know how it goes. And then, I'll do a duathlon. I'll do a triathlon kind of thing. You know, and I made it into some higher level competitions. You know, I made it in. I was never like top of the heap in those sort of situations. But as long as I made it into those national teams, I went. I was like, why not? Why not go and do the national? It's such a great experience, you know. But as I did all those competitions, you know, I'm a much better coach. I've been coached by many people. I observed a lot of coaches, and I knew what I didn't want to do, and I knew what I wanted to do. You know, I've been in some situations around the pool where the swimmers were not necessarily, you know, treated the way I think they should have been. I'm more into coaching with positivity and not downgrading somebody. And that happened to me at track as well. You know, I joined this track group and I was made fun of running was never my big thing. I mean, I ended up doing ultra marathons, I guess, oh, wow. just to prove them wrong. that might not be fast, but I can go forever. But anyway, I remember being in that situation thinking, this is awful. This isn't any fun. So when I started getting into all the coaching certifications, I just knew from my heart how I wanted to be as a coach. I want to help people get better, and I can push them, but without hurting their feelings, without being mean, without that negative vibe, which I can't stand, you know. So it just was my mission just to be positive coach, help people have fun, help people reach their goals and their dreams. You know, some people just want to finish a triathlon, and that's so much fun to work with those folks, mm-hmm. you know, because they're so happy and proud of themselves. And who cares how, that they're not fast? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
We love
did that
too.
Answer your question? I don't know.
Well, I'm curious, what's your most memorable race experience in any sport? What is you've done a lot of different sports and in a lot of different places. So,
gosh, that's a good one. Most memorable. Probably I had a 12 female team doing Hood to Coast.
Okay.
Yes,
where you run from in Oregon.
Yep.
And I think that was just so amazing, having the women and, you know, telling, you know, first of all, I trained everybody to do it, and running in the middle of the night through the woods. It was just such an awesome experience. And to tell you guys a secret, I'm afraid of the dark. So you know, I was like, oh my God, I've got to do what? Okay, I can do it.
That's awesome.
I will say, having the night shift run down through Portland, where there's on a path where you can see nothing in front of you. I think I ran my fastest, and it's slightly downhill. I was like, I felt like I was flying and putting out no effort. And I was like, I just need to get moving. But it was actually really fun and exhilarating, but very motivating to run fast.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. You've both done the same race.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
That's an awesome race.
It is so super cool. Fun. I love the camaraderie of races like Ragnar and Hood to Coast, and having that team and the vans together, because it's a team of 12, but then you actually have a sub team, right, of two groups of six in your vans. And I mean, you're 24 plus hours, 36 hours together, sleeping for a couple hours on a grass field somewhere or in the van and taking turns with the drive. And yeah, it's just such a great experience. I love all
it was
of
it. Great. Yeah, it was fun.
That's pretty neat. I have a question for you. I know Jay kind of mentioned this in the beginning, and I think a lot of our listeners will find this fascinating, but you have a pretty good connection with two Olympic athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You've been fortunate enough to have interactions with the most decorated Olympic athlete of all time, Michael Phelps, as well as with Katie Hoff, obviously mm-hmm. both phenomenal swimmers. How did that come about? I mean, I think as a strength and conditioning coach, I know I am, it's like, did you just get a phone call and it was like, hey, we've got this guy named Michael Phelps we want you to work with? Or was it started when he was younger and you just stuck with him as he aged? Or was this like Bob Bowman calling you and you're just like, yeah, I'll do this. I mean, how'd that happen?
Well, I was already at Meadowbrook where they practiced, and Bob Bowman came in. And I knocked on his door. I introduced myself, and he hired me to do the strength and conditioning.
Right.
Bob is a great guy, really awesome guy. Yeah. And I learned a tremendous amount from him. And having that experience, you know, he gave me that chance to work with those swimmers. I mean, that was a phenomenal experience.
That's
awesome.
Keep going on this theme. Some of us in this age group world get really motivated, really determined. They want to succeed. They want to train hard at what any level. How would you compare that determination to what Michael had or Katie had, like an Olympic 4-year cycle determination? Is it even comparable, or is it at just a totally different level?
As far as their motivation, is that the question?
Motivation, do they have the same problem getting up in the morning sometimes coming to do workout.
We went through some times where, you know, certain people on the team didn't necessarily want to come to the strength session. And, you know, sure, we had those ups and downs also. Okay. You know, I mean, they're working day in and day out, morning and night.
Yeah. Full-time job, essentially. Yeah.
It's hard. Okay. It's hard.
So us mere mortals can relate.
They struggle with it as well.
I think Jay really just wants to know, did you have to get on them as much as you have to get on him in the pool? I think that's what he's asking indirectly. I'm reading between the lines here.
I don't know. I don't complain much in the pool other than when
he doesn't.
There's too much fly.
yeah, he does. I'm a little obsessed with butterfly. I love butterfly.
But I'm sure at the end of the day, as much as they maybe do complain, they show up. They still show up.
Oh, right? They show up. Yeah. And it's good because that group, the person that was coaching before didn't do all the different strokes. At first, they kind of looked at me when I said, okay, we're going to do 4x25 butterfly. And everybody looked at me like, what? What? We're going to do what? But then after a while, I mean, they just give them tips and tell them how to do it and work on their form. And now everybody just toes the line and does it and enjoys it from my perspective.
Yeah.
Because definitely. I really think that to learn how to swim, a lot of triathletes only want to do freestyle. But if you don't understand how to move your body in the water, it's all about your body balance and mechanics in the water. If you can do all those different things in the water, when a bunch of people are swimming over top of you, it'll be nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm raising my hand. Yes. I'm one that was like, if given a choice for free or other stroke, what is another stroke? It's always like freestyle.
It's
why would I do
free,
anything?
Right?
Yeah. Why would I do anything different? But I will say I have been challenged more recently to do other strokes. Now, am I doing the breaststroke or the butterfly? I don't actually know which one it is, to be honest, but I'm doing one of them. I don't even know if it is one. It could be a mix. And then like on the backstroke, I remember starting to do backstroke. Okay, that should be easy, but when you actually do it the right way, like when you throw your hand out of the water, like water goes all over your face. And so I was like, okay, well, I might not be learning how to swim faster. I'm learning how to like self-drown myself so that when I am in a try, and other swimmers are flying, like water's flashing all over, I'm like learning how to breathe through the water. So this is actually like, okay, I get why I'm doing backstroke now. And then over time, you do start to get a little different feel for the water. But anyhow, this is just for anybody else out there who sees free or other stroke and chooses free. I do challenge you, take on some of those other strokes and don't quit after the first time when you almost self-drown yourself. Give it a few times, a few tries. Think of it as learning different ways to feel the water. And I think like Dawn Marie, you had talked about learning body position. Okay, what happens when I straighten out but arch a little bit more, you know, something like that. And just really use it to play with that type of stuff, I think is the challenge. I've gotten a little bit better at whatever the strokes are that I'm doing. But anyhow.
Excellent. Glad to hear.
I think. Actually, I will say, so in one of the earlier pods, so we had somebody, what was his name? Jay, the swimmer. I'm totally blanking. He said to do pool boy with paddles on, and all I'm thinking of the pool boy.
Oh, Andy.
Andy. And all I could imagine was the pool boy popping out and being stuck against the wall with paddles because I don't do flip turns. But I've had to do those a couple times now. And I'll say in the last set, I think I actually did pretty good. I still do open turns, but like the pool boy doesn't go flying out and the paddles don't like half come off my hands anymore. And I remember doing a couple and I was like, hey, this is not so bad anymore. But
I love
it. Okay, I digress.
No, you don't.
But,
I mean, that's
great point, Dawn Marie.
Well, Keep up those flip turns.
That's right. And you made a great point, Jillian, that you just glossed right by is the feel for the water. I think for me and Dawn Marie helped me figure out the other strokes for sure. But the feel for the water is one of the biggest gains. It's amazing after doing backstroke and butterfly when I just feel off doing freestyle. If I do a couple rounds of that and go back to freestyle, I get synced again. I get the feel again. I get the timing again. So it is awesome how each of the different strokes help each other.
Yeah.
It is so true.
Yeah, my other thought, Jay, to that was, okay, so I do these other terrible strokes where I don't hardly move through the water and I'm just like flailing, so that when I come back and have to do free again, I'm like, oh, thank God, this feels so good. And then all of a sudden, like, you do feel good. It does feel better. So yeah. There you go. There's another dual test or another dual purpose for adding other strokes to your swim.
Oh, you're
that's right.
Speaking truth tonight, Jillian. So true.
Hopefully somebody else's can resonate with.
Oh, already done.
So Dawn Marie, when you do get somebody that comes in that similar to possibly Jillian and maybe me, if I was being 100% honest,
okay,
is not proficient at backstroke, butterfly, or backstroke, how do you get them to incorporate that? I mean, correctly, because I mean, it's hard enough to teach correct freestyle form. Do you spend time with people to make sure, like, the basic mechanics of each individual stroke? Is that inclusive in what you do for masters? Or is that, hey, listen, you probably need to spend some private one-on-one time with me because you look terrible.
It's a little of both. While I coach the practice, I always try to go to each lane and give people different tips of the day sort of thing, things that I see, things they can work on. But, you know, I do offer private lessons as well. And some people really do need a couple private lessons to really hone in on that skill. And I also try to mix in some of the practices. We might do, you know, 8x25 drill, and I explain the drill, and then we all do the drill together. So that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Try to mix it in.
Right. Jay, you got a guest room, don't you?
I do.
A guest room?
Yeah. Like, I mean, or a couch.
Oh, yeah. Come on over.
Yeah. I've got, yeah. I was going to say, I've got
sign up.
Kitchen. I'm thinking, I'm just trying to stall the way. I'm figuring out how many weeks I need to come visit for my swimming to get corrected.
Okay. Think come on up.
I know. Well, I know.
I mean, I feel compelled to just pile on what Matt said about lessons and just explain a little bit. I did that with Dawn Marie last winter, and I guess we did maybe six to eight weeks. I don't mm-hmm. remember exactly how many weeks. And,
yeah,
you know, I'd love for you to comment on that journey. I'll kind of explain how I experienced it, and maybe, you know, some people are scared to get lessons. I mean, the folks that listen to our podcast are at all levels of their journey in triathlon, and they may. We talked about bike fitting and the intimidation that some people have to just go talk to a bike fitter and get fit. I think swim is one of those categories that I think I debated talking to you about doing them for 2 years probably before I got enough nerve to say, you know what, I want to do this. Because you got to face reality. You may not be a good swimmer, right? And you broke me down. I think I had lifelong mechanics that I just created to learn based on YouTube videos and watching other people. And you worked me out from the floating aspect, starting to just know how to float in a neutral way in the water, both on my back and on my stomach. And I think you made sure that I was at least exhaling in the water as I was mm-hmm. swimming. Certainly flip turns, you got me through refining how I was doing them. And that helps keep momentum during your workout. And I think that's probably the best value. There was always a lifelong argument of why would you do flip turns when you don't need to in open water, but it's about the efficiency of your workout, I think, that you gain there. And the catch up drill. yeah, we did it with a pole and we did it in different ways. I need to do it some more, but learning the rhythm of the stroke was really important for me. And then, of course, my head position, we've talked about that weeks upon end on the podcast already, and getting those legs up and how the head position helps. But then also the other strokes, learning the other strokes and figuring out how that complements freestyle as well. That was my experience. 6-8 weeks. I still have a long way to go. I probably feel some bad habits coming back. I would need to do a tune-up, check-in with you type thing. But I don't know. Take that for what it's worth. What were you seeing through that process? And how does that apply to others like Matt, if he wanted to come? What was the process you walked me through mentally as a coach?
So what I like to do first is just observe the swimmer. I like to just take mental note of all the different things I see, what I think is most important to address first. I think we did work on head position And definitely, you really nailed that. And that is huge. I can't tell you how many people I still see. I see their whole face when they breathe. And it's always the one-eyed goggle monster. You know, that one eye should always be underneath. And you have to breathe like Popeye and make funny faces and all these funny things that you hear. But I just kind of go with the flow. When I don't work with any two swimmers alike. I know there are some programs and they have this line of things to follow, what you should look at first. I don't like to coach that way. I like to see, and probably doing biomechanics, you understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, you'll see a mechanical thing and you'll say, okay, let's work on that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, but I mean, your progression, you really, really improved. It's amazing how much you improved. It's great.
Thank you.
So what you're telling me is there is hope for me.
There's hope, Matt. Lots of hope.
As long as you can keep that face in the water.
Yeah, Dawn Marie, that
got to keep your face in the water.
Selfish question here. This is 100% about me. Every bit about me.
Bring it on.
I like oxygen. I don't like having my head in the water. I don't like having my head under covers. I'm that guy that on dry land, I can do the mechanics, the above water stuff. But as soon as I get in that water and my head's down, oh no, I want it up. I want all the oxygen I can get. I like breathe. And it's psychological. I've done the sink downs. I mean, I understand the purpose of them. It's not about going underwater. It's about, because then I know I'm coming right back up.
Right. You
know? It's about having that head submerged down. And it's like, oh boy, like I want to lift and gasp for air. And I'm going to get personal here.
Yeah.
We all know that when you gasp for air, you get all the air in your stomach and then later on you have an uncomfortable afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I suffer from that. Inevitably, after every swim, it leaves you gassy. And I'll be honest. And it's like, I know that's the reason, especially like when it's hard sets and you have a lot of breathing going on. It's like I get done and it's like I can look down at my stomach and I'm like, oh my God, like it's just full of air because I'm gasping. It's like, you know, and it's almost comical, but I mean, what would you, I mean, that is my biggest issue. Is this?
I would love to see breathing. You in the water.
No.
Yeah.
I might need to make a field trip.
Do you exhale as soon as your face goes in? You guys, you have to start letting it out.
Yeah, I try to, but I like oxygen. I'm a very, that's the best way to put it.
Do you breathe when you weightlift? Like, yeah, are you good at exhaling and inhaling while you're lifting?
Yeah, I'm not underwater weightlifting.
Okay, well, I didn't know. No, I say that because actually my struggle swimming and learning to breathe into the water was when I weightlift, I tend to hold my breath.
Gotcha. Yeah, no
when I'm exerting myself, you know, I was carrying that into the water. So it took me a long time to learn both breathing when I weightlift because – need to do that too.
No, I definitely exhale underwater. It's like I'll exhale through my nose, I inhale through my mouth. I got the basic. I'm not a bad swimmer, I'm just not efficient, you know what I mean? I mean, I can throw down decent times, but it's one of those where my engine's much stronger than my form. And I think that's what's frustrating is, you know, you meet people and you're like, wow, it's like, you know, from the engine I have on land, I would expect a much better swim performance.
How long have you been swimming?
I got in the water because I was an adult onset learner at age 30, and I barely made it through my first triathlon.
15 years.
Do you do flip turns?
Nope.
That's one of your problems.
Okay.
Because you will learn breath control if you learn, and you will learn to blow those bubbles out because otherwise they're going up your nose.
Right.
You will learn good breath control. You need to.
So what you're telling me is partial drowning will help me.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
You need to come up, but I'm not hanging out with you in the afternoon until I straighten.
Gotcha. All right. Fair enough. All right. I'm gonna book it. We're gonna make a trip up there.
Excellent.
I'm gonna join Jay. We're gonna figure this out. And yeah, I still got some connections up in the Baltimore area. My mom actually lives in Frederick, so we'll figure something out.
Excellent.
Seven straight days.
There we go.
Crash course.
Jay will go run, we'll bike. You just got to make sure you clear it all with Tammy. We'll make it happen.
We'll figure it out.
Triathlon camp in Coffeysville.
You're asking her right now because she'll listen to the pod. And
beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. I'll cook and I'll play with the kids too.
Oh, wow. Okay. Can we go out for dinner or something?
Absolutely. You guys go out to eat. I'll take care of I got the kids.
You're selling it pretty well. Good job.
Uncle Matt will take them out to eat.
Even better.
That was great.
Okay. We got some athletes racing this weekend, don't we?
Oceanside
and Galveston, right?
I've got one at each location. Super excited about both. Galveston, wow. I think the nerves are coming out because of the weather. It's been super windy leading up to this week. And then one athlete I have, she's from the Windy City. Ness Bowden is racing. She's a superstar athlete. She was telling me that Chicago's got nothing on Galveston when it comes to wind. It's definitely a little windy down there. She's definitely been training indoors because of the weather up in Chicago. So getting out on the bike down on the island, she said, has been a little nerve wracking. Spent a lot of time in the drops. It was kind of funny. She's like, death grip. She thought her power meter was broken. She told me because heading out with the wind behind her, she's like, there's no way this is right. And then as soon as she turned around, she's like, oh no, it's 100% right. So, but expecting a big day out of her. So good luck out there, Ness. You're going to do phenomenal. And then I got another athlete, Ferris Thompson, in a super competitive age group, the 65 to 69 male age group out at Oceanside. Ferris is a native to the ocean, so very comfortable in that surf. I mean, that's just his environment. He's a surfer. He's super comfortable in that water. So that's going to be huge for him. But that's a tough age group, those 65 to 69-year-old guys. Slow, steady. I got legendary Kurt Madden racing in that age group as well. So should be a good race out there. And the pro field at Oceanside, it's getting a little bit smaller, it seemed like, Jay. What do you think?
On the men's side.
Yeah.
Well, the early season injury or illness is definitely knocking out some people, with Lionel and Jan both having to pull out. So.
Right. And on the ladies' side, Jillian, I mean, that's a stacked field too, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it is. It'll be a really fun race to watch. Yeah. It'll be very interesting. I think there's a ton of drama just around the fact that there is only 2 minutes that separate the start time for the men and the pro women. And more than 50% of the women field are capable of catching the men in those opening 2 minutes. And so it definitely a lot of drama on how that plays in when the ladies hit the bike and they're having to go through the men in the field. We won't get into that.
It'll be interesting.
It'll be fun to watch
how long it takes.
Yeah. I realized how excited I am just to see the North American triathlon season come to, to start and realize that we all have races coming up soon, and seeing all the posts from Team Zoot and everybody that's getting ready to race. I'm sure Jillian, your team's got people racing, and it's just exciting finally to be back. It's been a long, crummy winter.
Don Marie, do you still do any events? Do you do any either races or you mentioned?
I do not. Right? No. Okay. Just coaching. Just coaching now. Working pretty much 7 days a week. So,
yeah.
My training, I try to get my swim in before I coach.
Yeah. Oh, so you're still an active swimmer, just for the lifestyle, right?
And I do strength training, and I have a full gym at home.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Yeah.
Dawn Marie, how many? I've never asked. You swim 7 days a week, or do you take a day off?
Seven. Yeah.
And how many meters in a workout generally average?
If I'm not coaching, 6,000.
Wow. Just is a machine.
But I just, I mean, I grew, when I say I grew up in a pool, I literally grew up. I mean, the whole summer I was, if I wasn't at the gym doing my gymnastics, I was in the pool. And I only came out, I didn't come out to eat. My mom brought me a tray with lunch. I'm serious.
And that's awesome.
I had this little plastic, raft thing, and I would sit up on that, eat lunch, put it on the side, and go right back in.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that is one point about when I ask people how long you've been swimming. I am I'm so comfortable in the water. In fact, during COVID, this is really stupid, but I'll tell you anyway. I missed swimming so much that when I washed my face at night, I would just put my head under the faucet and just feel the water just like you say you hate it. I just that feel. I just love to be underwater. It's just, I can't even describe how it makes me feel.
Right.
And so growing up like that and having that ease in the water makes a huge difference. So when I work with adults who have never been in the water like that, you know, I have to try to get them relaxed. You know, let me see you do a somersault. Let me, you know, I'll ask them to do silly things sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just get that play, get that kid in you coming back out.
Right. Now, I'm just curious. Are you a diver also? Do you do diving?
No.
Okay, mm-mm. Just swimming. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious. I didn't know if you ever got into diving with the gymnastics. That's
right.
Why I was curious.
Right,
I was
right. Like, good question.
I mean, I could see you. I mean, obviously, you're a very petite lady. I was like, I could see her on that top platform just flipping off, doing like three somersaults, just streamlining into the water.
Yeah, I missed the boat on that one.
Okay. That's pretty cool then.
So I have one other question if sure. I can. So with all that swimming, how do you deal with injury, like shoulder injury? How do you avoid it? Is it just because you've been swimming so long, you have great form maybe, and so you're not as susceptible, or is it the strength and conditioning or mobility work that you do?
I think it's the strength and conditioning, and I am so extremely flexible. I could actually, if I had got slow in work, I could work in the circus. Seriously.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I have ligamentous laxity. So, you know, yeah. And, you know, I think that prevents injury in the pool, but mm-hmm. on land, I'm very susceptible to injury. Yeah. So that is why I spend my time in the water.
Yeah. Forgiving environment.
And that is why I do the strength training, because my ligaments, you can't make them tighter, but I need to keep the muscle strong.
Right.
To help me on land, because I'm very susceptible to injury on land.
Oh, so right. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw one more out there because I know somebody's thinking this, that if I don't ask it, somebody's thinking it.
Okay.
You spend 43,000 meters a week of time in the water.
Uh-huh.
I know somebody's wondering, how do you take care of your skin, your hair, and make sure you look as good as you do spending that much time in the water?
I eat the right things.
Okay, cool. Nutrition.
Yeah, nutrition. Okay. Yeah.
But is there a shampoo?
Is your pool you use? Chlorine? Yeah.
Yeah,
is it chlorine or salt water?
Constantly dry.
Yeah.
Well, what you have to do first is just to really rinse your hair, saturate your hair with water, because the tap water creates a bond so that chlorine can't penetrate your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shower before you get in.
Yes, you shower before you get in. And I don't wash my hair every day, maybe once a week. I just use conditioner and rub it through and rinse it. It's shampoo will strip your hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, this is why I asked.
And lots of lotion, you know, lots of lotion all the time. You got, Jay, do you lather up? You got to put the lotion on too.
Oh, I do every day after a swim. It's amazing. If I don't, I feel like my skin's going to break.
Yeah.
I don't put it on. Yeah.
I have finally found for men, there's a body wash out there. Every Man Jack makes it. And it's a surf and sand body wash that has like anti-chlorine in it. It smells like mint. It smells delicious. I love it. I can't find it locally. I buy it on Amazon.com. And it's like I keep a bag in my swim bag and I keep one in the shower.
There you go.
As soon as I get out, it's like I'm straight to the shower and I have to rub that stuff on me or else I just get so dry and itchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's been a savior for me as a guy. Plus, it smells like a guy. It doesn't have a floral, you know what I mean? And that's kind of important to me. So,
I get it. I get it.
That might help you in the late afternoon, too.
There we go. Yeah. Smelling good. I hear you.
This is great.
It just hides it when I go back to work that nobody knows I've been swimming. The only giveaway there are like my goggle marks that are just so bad. So,
Oh, man.
But
Dawn Marie, this has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. It's been so great to get to know you a little bit more and to hear some seriously insightful and important tips for us and I think a lot of our listeners that are adult learn to swim. And I think just some reminders on the strength and mobility is being really important, but a ton of good tips. So thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
Good, good.
I'm excited. I'm ready to make a field trip now.
I'm ready for you.
All right.
Matt, you're going to have to report back to us. So yeah. Be very, very
accountability
interesting.
Accountability now.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And this has been a great episode. And to anybody that is listening, if you have any questions or comments or any stories you'd like to share with us or have anybody that you would recommend sharing their journey with us or your own journey, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can find us on Instagram at Triathlon Age Group Journey, or you can reach us on email at triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com.
And don't forget to give us a rating on your favorite platform. You know, we just love hearing what you guys like, what you guys love, and what you guys want more of. So please reach out.
Great.
I want to end with one special thank you again to Dawn Marie. You inspire me every day to get to the pool when I need to get to the pool just by what you do. And thank you for helping me learn to swim and reaching some goals that you were a big part of last year. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a great week, guys.
Hi everyone, Jay again. We're going to take a week off to get some much needed recovery from our podcasting. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We wish you a happy Easter and hope spring weather finds you soon.